أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I am late today, subhanAllah. I apologize. I'm just trying to get organized here. Okay. Oh, ya Allah. I think all the viewers are also late. Hey, Labas. Not you guys, the one who are online. Alhamdulillah and Brother Abdul Haq are always on time. Jazakumullah khairan. In fact, huh? Yes, I'm putting that on as well. Thank you. Just so that I can be a total goof. Alright, bismillah. Okay, so today, alhamdulillah, we have the four surahs. The four of the seven hamims that we'll cover today, inshallah. We are going to be doing 25 juz, inshallah. The 25th juz begins with the last page of Surah Fussilat, which is إِلَيْهِ يُرَدُّ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. But we will skip straight to the next page, which is Surah Shura. So we have today Surah Shura, Surah number 42. Then I'm going to put up Surah number 43 here, Surah Zukhruf, and then Surah number 44, which is Surah Dukhan, right there, and Surah number 45, which is Surah Jathiyah. Four surahs. All of them, you notice, now let's examine a few things that are common between them, and we can get a taste of what's to come, okay? So Surah Shura, Surah number 42, begins with Hamim, Ain, Sin, Qaf. Hamim, Ain, Sin, Qaf. This is the only, there's only two surahs in Quran that begin with five of the five letters that are broken up. The first one is Surah Maryam, Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ain, Sad. SubhanAllah. And the second one is Hamim, Ain, Sin, Qaf. The difference here, of course, is Hamim, Ain, Sin, Qaf are actually two ayahs, if you notice. Ayah number one, ayah number two. Okay? What this means, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But that's there. Now, right after, the first ayah says, كَذَلِكَ يُوحِي إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ اللَّهُ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Likewise, it has been revealed to you, يُوحِي إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ, and to those before you, اللَّهُ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Allah is the one who has revealed it, this revelation, to you and those before you. Okay? In Surah Zukhruf, so right after حَمِيمْ عَيْنْ سِنْ قَفْ, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about revelation, Quran and Sunnah. Next Surah, Surah Zukhruf, حَمِيمْ وَالْكِتَابِ الْمُبِينَ. حَمِيمْ وَالْكِتَابِ الْمُبِينَ. إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. I swear by the clear book. إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. No doubt, absolutely, we have made it a clear recital. Remember, Qur'an does not just mean, Qur'an is a name now, right? But Qur'an linguistically is not a name. Qur'an linguistically meant a recital, something that is read, something that is spoken of, is Qur'an. Qara'a, which means to be read, Qur'an is something that is read. So, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا. We made it into an Arabic recital, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, so you can understand. You notice this ayah also talks about the Qur'an. First ayah talked about the Qur'an, كَذَلِكَ يُوحِي إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ اللَّهُ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Qur'an, revelation. Next, in Surah Zukhruf, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. Surah Dukhan, likewise, we see Hamim wal Kitab al Mubin. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakah. We have no doubt, there is no doubt that we have revealed it in a blessed night. Inna kunna mundhirin. There's no doubt that we are the ones who are going to warn mankind. Do you notice the progression? Shura mentions yuhi ilayka, revelation, which is Quran and Sunnah. Okay? Surah Zukhruf talks about ja'alnahu Qur'anan Arabiyyan. This Quran particularly is made a recital that is in Arabic, which means that it is very clear, it's very precise, it's very pristine. Then the next surah says, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakah. Not just that it is pristine and it is glorious, but also the night it was revealed was also a blessed night. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakah. The night itself was also blessed, and this night, of course, is Laylatul Qadr, right? Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr. So we get that explained in Suratul Qadr. Surah Jathiya also says Hamim Tanzilul Kitabi min Allahil Azizil Hakim, also talking about the revelation of Al Kitab. Now it's here. It's not called the Quran here. It's called Al Kitab. A slight variant. This you notice that, but it's referring obviously to the Quran. When the Quran is referred to as Al Kitab, it is more. It's got a more interesting dynamic. See, calling it the Quran is different. When Allah calls the Quran, any small portion of it could be considered Quran. Right? Any surah, a few ayat, they're recited. But when he calls it Al-Kitab, it's generally referring to the totality of the message. Right? Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي. It's very small subtlety. Of course, it's all referring to the Qur'an here, but you notice the words are different. Qur'an versus Al-Kitab. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to it as Al-Kitab, talking about the entirety of the revelation, even though only a part of it was revealed so far. When this is surah, it's a Makkan surah, is at that time, a very small portion of the Qur'an was revealed, a lot of it was still to be revealed. But still, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the entirety of it. But now you notice in the four surahs that we have here, the main message or the crux of it is with revelation, Qur'an in particular. Parts of it or all of it. This is something that we will see as a consistent theme of these four surahs. In fact, all of Hamims, the seven Hamims, they share this commonality. You will see after Hamim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning something about the Qur'an. Either the idea of revelation, either it is about the language of the Qur'an, or the pristine nature of the Qur'an, or talking about it in a manner that is total. Al-Kitab min Allah al-Aziz al-Hakim, from Allah who is al-Aziz and who is al-Hakim. So that's the first thing we notice about these four surahs. Let me just do this here. Okay. Allahu Akbar. There we go. Okay. So now let's look at Surah Shura now. That's the first thing we saw at the end of at the beginnings of the surahs. Let's also examine the ends of the surahs. So let's go to the end of Surah Shura. Okay? The end of Surah Shura is very interesting. It says, كَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا. Ayah number 52. I'm making you flip a lot, but that's okay. Right? The idea is to get to see the ayat and see what's going on. Muhammad, come down. وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا. Likewise, thus we have revealed to you رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا, an inspiration of our command. You notice the message is called Ruh here. The message is called Ruh because it's for the Ruh. It's for the soul. Revelation is for the soul. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it Ruh in this particular ayah. And he says, مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ. O Prophet, you did not know what was the book and what was Iman. This was something that you did not know. The things that were in this book are things that the Prophet ﷺ did not know of until they were revealed. ولكن جعلناه نورا, but we made them a light. نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا, by which we guide those who we want from our slaves. وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم, and there is no doubt that you guide to a straight path. صراط الله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض, the path of Allah, the one who to him belongs whatever is in the skies and whatever is in the earth. ألا إلى الله تصير الأمور, at the end of the day all things unquestionably go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It goes back to the commands of Allah. They are all at the end of the day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's doing. So you notice Surah Shura began with Yuhi, revelation. It ends with revelation. Surah Zukhruf talked about the Quran. نَجْعَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. How does it end? It ends with a scene of the Day of Judgment. It ends with a scene on the Day of Judgment in which the Prophet ﷺ is complaining. Where is it? Right here, sorry. فقيله يا ربي إن هؤلاء قوم لا يؤمنون فاصفع عنهم وقل سلام فسوف يعلمون. That his statement, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's statement, that my, Ya Allah, Ya Rabb, these people are a people who do not believe. And Allah tells him, فاصفع عنهم وقل سلام, just leave them and say salam, say a good thing to them. فسوف يعلمون, soon they will know. Soon they will know. So the reception of the message is not always great, as we saw with the Prophet ﷺ. He had to go through lots of difficulties. Also, let's look at the end of Surah. Surah Dukhan. Also, in this, at the end of it, Allah says, فَإِنَّمَا يَسَّرْنَاهُ بِلِسَانِكَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. Indeed, we have eased it, the Quran on your tongue, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ, so they can be reminded. فَارْتَقِبْ إِنَّهُمْ مُرْتَقِبُونَ, so just wait and watch. They are also waiting and watching. You notice now, from the beginning and the endings of these surahs, the topic that's being covered, because the beginning and end gives us an idea of what these surahs will generally talk about. It covers revelation, particularly Quran, the deliverance of the message, the responsibility to deliver the message. Number two, that was the responsibility of the Prophet ﷺ, and how that is now going to be our responsibility as well. It talks about what is going to be the characteristic of the one who delivers the message, who carries this message, what are the characteristics of that person. We'll see in Surah Shura, inshallah. Number four, not all the times will it be, you know, roses. In fact, most of the time it won't be roses because people won't listen to you. وَقِيلِهِ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ قَوْمٌ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. People won't believe. People will start to reject. People will start to do character assassinations. That's what happened to the Prophet ﷺ. But Allah says, فَاصْفَعْ عَنْهُمْ وَقُلْ سَلَامٌ. Leave them and say good things. You don't stoop to their level. And also, it's not always the message at the end of the day, as we are delivering it, and as we are trying to be convinced of it. إِنَّمَا يَسَّرْنَاهُ بِلِسَانِكَ. It's been made easy. If you read a book, for example, if you read a book by anybody who is a great academic, okay, a lot of the times that person will use the most complicated terminologies, the most difficult words. I was reading a book by a professor. I couldn't even read more than 20 pages because it was so boring, number one. And he was using so many complicated words, I just gave up, even though I was understanding it, but it was not a fun read. Just, you know, the person is trying to show how much he knows. That person, and this is a lot of the academics, when they write, they want to show people how much they know. They don't write to convince people, or they don't write to in a manner that everybody will understand. You see? The speech or their books are written in a way that shows their superiority in their intellect, in their vocabulary. But the Quran, despite dealing with the most complicated topics, the most important topics and the most complicated topics, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَسَّرْنَاهُ بِلِسَانِكَ. We have made this easy on your tongue. The words in it are easy. The phrases in it are easy to understand. Despite the fact it's dealing with complicated things. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not trying to show us here, you know, how much He knows. He's trying to, you know, convince us so we can believe in Him. And this is a very important lesson for a teacher. Anybody who teaches at any level. That teaching or conveying a message or teaching, the job is not to show the person who's in the audience how much you know. The job is to convey the message so they can understand. To deliver it to a point so that in a way that they can understand what is being said. فَإِنَّمَا يَسَّرْنَاهُ بِلِسَانِكَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. It's done so that they can understand. You see? It's such beauty of the Qur'an. Even the Prophet ﷺ, when he speaks, he says, أُوتِيتُ جَوَامِعُ الْكَلِمِ. I've been given the most, you know, the most pristine of speeches. He can explain very complicated things in very small words. And he says, this is because of Allah. He gave this to me, ﷺ. He said, so, for example, when he says, لَا ضَرَرَ وَلَا ضِرَارَ. Two words, literally. ضَرَر and ضِرَار. That is a principle of our religion. That all harm should come to an end. If somebody is in a harmful situation, the job is to make sure that that harmful situation is, you know, to be brought to an end. Whether that person is harming themselves or harming somebody else. Very, very small statement has huge implications. So, the idea that Allah and His Messenger speak in a manner that people can understand. The Bedouin can listen to this ayah and benefit, and the intellectual can listen to the ayah and also learn something. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ فَارْتَقِبْ إِنَّهُمْ مُرْتَقِبُونَ. So, you watch, they're also watching. Meaning, you keep doing what you're doing, and they'll keep doing what they're doing. The idea is not that once the message is conveyed, that all opposition gets wiped away. That's not the idea. And that's not, first of all, not even a realistic goal. And that's something that is not even a likable end result either. Because Allah says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعَلَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. If Allah wanted, everybody would be uniform. Everybody would be the same nation. But that's not going to be the case. So, فَارْتَقِبْ إِنَّهُمْ مُرْتَقِبُونَ. The goal is not that the message is conveyed and everybody adopts it and everybody is now on the same page. It's not going to happen in this dunya. This is not the way life works. فَارْتَقِبْ إِنَّهُمْ مُرْتَقِبُونَ. So you notice this juz has brought together a very nice, in its totality, it's like a crash course for how to give da'wah. And I mentioned yesterday, and I'll repeat myself again, that the idea of conveying the message only comes, it's a natural byproduct of being convinced of the message. Once we are convinced that this is the truth, then we will just be compelled to give it to others, to share it with others. This is the whole idea of social media, right? When you like something, you share it. And to the point sometimes it gets ridiculous. You're sharing everything about your life. But the message, we have to be convinced of it. And that the natural consequence is that we share it with others. It doesn't matter what capacity, but in some capacity. In some capacity. Some people dedicated their lives to this. Like the Sahaba, some of them gave up their professions. Like Bilal radiallahu anhu, he basically worked for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after he was freed as a slave. Certain Sahaba just, that's all they did. Others had businesses and they would do whatever they could in the side. So whatever capacity we can do it at, it has to be done. It's a responsibility that's on our shoulders because Allah says, لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. We're supposed to be a witness to mankind. If we cannot get the message to mankind, then it's our fault. Our necks are on the line, collectively as an ummah. It's a very important thing to realize. These surahs, and these messages are brought again and again to make us realize the gravity of the situation. Now let's look at Surah Shura. Surah Shura is a very... all these surahs are early Makkan or middle Makkan surahs. Okay? So, you will find an emphasis of tawheed on these in these surahs, not as many rulings or whatnot, right? But there's a very big emphasis on recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being convinced that He is the one who's worthy of worship through His signs in the book, through His signs outside the book, through historical evidence. Many, many things are provided. You look at this, for example, Allah says, for example, ayah number 6, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهُ حَفِيظٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَمَا أَنْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِوَكِيلٌ. People are going to take others as gods, and Allah says, اللَّهُ حَفِيظٌ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah is ultimately responsible for that. That's not your responsibility. You just keep doing your job. وَمَا أَنْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِوَكِيلٌ. You're not sent to micromanage those people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in this ayah, for example, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعَلَهُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. Ayah number 8. The goal is not to make everybody a homogeneous, uniform nation. Because if Allah wanted, that would have happened. The goal of the da'wah, the goal of us sharing our conviction with others, is not that everybody accepts. That's not going to happen. Right? But the goal is to share it, and the people reject it, we keep sharing it in the best way possible. That's the ultimate goal. وَلَكِنْ يُدْخِلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ. But He enters who He wants in His mercy. What's fascinating is يُدْخِلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ. He enters who He wants in His mercy. This could mean He enters who Allah, Allah enters who Allah wants in His mercy, meaning He gives them the tawfiq, the ability to accept Islam. And it could also mean Allah enters he who really wants to enter in His mercy, in His mercy. The one who wants to enter in Allah's mercy, the one who wants guidance, the one who wants to come closer to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes him and brings him closer. Like the hadith Qudsi tells us that when a person comes closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he takes a step to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes 10 steps towards him. When he comes closer to Allah by a hand span, by the span of a of maybe the hand, the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes close to him by the arm's length. Like, he takes one step, Allah takes 10 steps. He comes this close, Allah comes this close to them. Right? وَمَنْ يَأْتِهِ مَاشِيًا. The one who comes to Allah walking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to him harwalatan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to him running. Right? Of course, not physically. The idea is not physically. But the idea is that Allah brings that person close to him. We want Allah's mercy, and we truly want it, we do something about it, 100% Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be there to give us that mercy. The one who wants guidance, looks for it sincerely, 100% Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give that person guidance. There's no doubt about that. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. The one who strives, Allah gives them what he wants. Takes him to his path, meaning gives him, gets him to his destination. So subhanAllah al-Azim, this is a very important ayah for us to keep in mind. يُدْخِلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ فِي رَحْمَتِي. And as for those who don't want, وَالظَّالِمُونَ مَا لَهُمْ مِنْ وَلِيٌّ وَلَا نَصِيرٌ. Now, this ayah also, ayah number 11, is one of the most important ayat of Quran. We have to understand who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. He says, فَاطِرُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. He is the one who created the skies and the earth. What's really fascinating, I pointed this I think one time earlier, that the idea of the skies, we don't really know that. We don't really know what the skies are, we can't really see the skies. We only see a sky, right? Sama ad-dunya. But Allah constantly refers in the Quran to the skies in plural. And Allahu a'lam, maybe later on in life, after research, maybe we will find the second sky or the next sky, right? And there's theories about this that are out there, multiple universes. There's no proof for it, but there's theories about this. And Allahu a'lam, maybe that is what the skies are. The hadith tell us that the skies are larger and larger. The second sky is larger than the first one. So much so that the first one is as small as a little ring compared to a desert. The first sky is as small as the relationship between the two is the relationship between a ring and a desert. Imagine. It's like no comparison. And the relationship between the second and third is recursively the same. Like a ring in the desert. And the third to the fourth, recursively is the same. The ring to the desert. So the first sky to the last seventh sky is literally a speck in a desert. And that the seventh sky is like a speck in front of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just to put in perspective that we're nothing. You've seen those videos where they zoom out of the earth and then they zoom out and they go out of the solar system and they keep zooming out and they zoom all the way out to Milky Way and then there's a little arrow that says, you are here. Like there's like a pixel. That is earth. Sure. Allahu Alam. The question is, in the Quran it says, Fatir as-samawat. Allahu Alam. Allah, that's a good, the question is very good. Why there are seven? Right? But Allah just says He created seven of them. We don't know why. Allahu Alam, maybe the hikmah is to show how amazing He is. The grandeur. But Allah knows best, of course. You notice this is a recurring theme in the Quran. Again and again and again. And He says, now this is where it gets interesting. جَعْلَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَمِنَ الْأَنْعَامِ أَزْوَاجًا. He makes you all Azwajan, pairs. A human being, you know, everything, our limbs are in pairs, correct? Our DNA is in a pair. There's like chromosomes, it's XX and XY chromosomes, everything is in a pair, right? And for us to live life socially, we live in a pair. So, everything about us, we have like this dependence on somebody else. جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَمِنَ الْأَنْعَامِ أَزْوَاجًا. And likewise the cattle. Now He says, لَيْسَ يَذْرَأُكُمْ فِيهِ. He multiplies you thereby. This is how we grow, right? لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. One of the most incredible parts of the Qur'an. There is nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And He is the one who is السَّمِيعُ, the one who hears everything. When He adds the al, that means He's the one who hears everything. Al basir, when you add the al, that means He sees everything. It's an incredible contrast between the creation of Allah and Allah the Creator. This ayah. You notice He says, Fatiru samawati wal ard. He created the skies and the earth out of nothingness. And we have people who can create other types of, who can create. You can have people who can breed another species. Right? You can take fruit flies and another fruit fly and then you breed them and that's a new breed of fruit fly. And that is technically creating. But nobody can create out of nothingness. Nobody can create without a model. I had a friend who was doing PhD in chemistry. And I was an undergrad at that time studying computer science. So I would ask him, so what do you do? So he said, what I do is I study plants. I'm like, you study plants? You're a chemistry PhD, that's what you do, you study plants? He says, yes, I study plants, and I study how they are made, the molecular construction of the plants, and I map that to certain medicine. Like he copies that molecular structure, and he makes medicine out of that to find cure for certain diseases. SubhanAllah. But he studies it, he's getting it from the plants. Even the most advanced chemistry and biology and physics is study of Allah's creation and then replicating that into other things, manufactured products, SubhanAllah. فَاطِرَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah is the one who creates out of nothingness without a model. And we are, if we have the ability to create something, we always replicate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. We're always modeling it off Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. That's the first difference between the khaliq and the makhluq. The second one we notice is, جَعْلَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. We are interdependent species. We need, first of all, our bodies are like a couple. Like there's a pair of limbs, pair of, our DNA is a pair. We need a pair of parents. You can't have one parent, right? Only Isa alayhi salam had one parent, everybody else has two parents. You cannot exist without two parents. So, subhanAllah, everything about us is in a pair. And then socially, we need a, you know, somebody to rely on, and we live with a partner, with a spouse. And also, azwaj is that we need other people to live with. Generally, people don't live in a cave. Generally, people are not, you know, they don't just live in an apartment by themselves and they play video games all day. Their lives aren't really healthy, right? Even the person who is so totally socially isolated, he's playing video games with somebody online, right? Has some social connection somehow with somebody, somewhere in the world. So we are, this is the nature of the way we are. Whereas Allah is totally one, uniquely one, absolutely one. No dependency on anything. Allahu Samad. He doesn't depend on anyone, and everyone depends on Him. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. That's why there's no one like Him. That is why Allah is the one who is worthy of all worship. Nobody else deserves any act of worship. SubhanAllah. لَهُ مَقَالِيدُ السَّمَمَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. On top of that, to Him belongs the keys of the skies and the earth. يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. He gives to whoever He wills. وَيَقْدِرْ. And He holds back from whoever He wills. إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. Now the next few ayat are some of the most important ayat, and we'll study them in a bit more detail and then skip through the rest of the surahs. شَرَعَ لَكُم مِّنَ الدِّينِ. He is the one who has شَرَعَ. شَرَعَ comes from شَرِيعَ. شَرِيعَ, شَرَعَ, you notice they have a commonality. It's to legislate. He has legislated for you, مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا وَصَّى بِهِ نُوحًا وَالَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ. What was legislated for Nuh, and وَالَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ, and the thing that was revealed to you, وَمَا وَصَّيْنَا بِهِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى, and what was legislated or what was given to Ibrahim and Musa and Isa. What was the message? What was the legislation for Nuh, for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for Ibrahim, Musa and Isa? What was it? La ilaha illallah also, but the ayah tells us an aqimuddin. You establish la ilaha illallah. An aqimuddin in its totality. Not just in belief, not just in worship, ritual worship, in its totality. An aqimuddin in the household, outside the household. At work, outside of work. In the masjid, outside the masjid. In every place. You know, the idea is, you know, salah and prayer is in the masjid, but once we go outside, business is business. You know, business is business. We just do what we have to do to make profit. Pursuit of profit is important. In fact, that is the main goal. But that's not the way the deen works. An aqimud deen is that you establish salah, and then you are establishing the principles of finance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us in the Quran, outside of the masjid as well. An aqimuddin is a totalitarian command. It's in its totality. وَلَا تَتَفَرَّقُوا فِيهِ. And do not become divided. Do not become divided. Now, there is a difference between تَتَفَرَّقُوا and تَخْتَلِفُوا. وَلَا تَخْتَلِفُوا is not said here. This ayat are very similar to the ayat in Surah Ali Imran in the fourth juz, where Allah says, وَاعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold on to the rope of Allah, the Quran, implement it in its totality, and don't get disunited. Don't divide. But اختلاف is okay. I could see the ayah and I understand it in one way. You see the same ayah and you understand it in a totally different way. And that's fine. That ikhtilaf is okay. The idea that madhahib have existed from the beginning of our history, from the earliest times. You know the madhahib have been there from the earliest of times. Even before Malik and Shafi'i codified it, and Imam Ahmad and Imam Abu Hanifa, the idea of madhahib goes back to the Sahaba. It originated from the Sahaba. The madhab of Abu Hanifa is based very strongly, very heavily on the opinions of Ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. the madhab of Imam Malik is based very heavily on the opinions of Abdullah ibn Umar, who was in Medina. So the ideas of, you know, differing opinions goes back to the earliest of times in our history as an ummah. And this is something that is totally acceptable. And it is, you know, something that is encouraged to have, you know, to study something and to come up with different conclusions at times is a good thing, because it opens up multiple avenues of interpretation. So that is okay. But tatafarraqu is to become divided. That now I'm not going to pray behind that Hanafi, or I'm not going to, you know, listen to that Shafi'i. Right? Just labeling people and just completely shunning a group because we've attached a label to them. You know those things that we have the stickers, "Hello, my name is," whatever, right? "Hello, my name is Hanafi, don't pray behind me," or something. Right? That idea, that putting a label on, slapping a label on someone's forehead, and that's it. That masjid is a label XYZ masjid, so we don't go to that masjid. Right? Aren't they also worshipping Allah? Aren't they making sajda to Allah? They're also worshipping Allah, aren't they? Right? Sure, there's some differences. Not everybody's going to be the same. That's ikhtilaf, that's okay. But tatafarraqu, that you become into like disunited groups, right? That's not allowed. وَلَا تَتَفَرَّقُوا. And it's not just for Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. It was given, this legislation, to every single messenger. Establish the deen in totality, and also do not become groups in the sense that just totally shunning one another. Allah SWT mentions why people do become into groups. He says, وَمَا تَفَرَّقُوا إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهَمُ الْعِلْمُ بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ. Ayah number 14. People become divided because of, despite knowing, مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْعِلْمُ بَغْيًا, because of jealousy and animosity. How come he has more people in his madhab than I do? Let me just slander him. Let me do this. How come his jama'ah is bigger, or their jama'ah is bigger than ours? This idea of hatred and animosity, that is something that causes division. And to this day, subhanAllah, you find this. What is the reason why Allah has told us not to become divided? This ayah also mentions that. He says, وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ أُورِثُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ لَفِي شَكِّ مِنْهُ مُرِيبٍ. If people keep fighting over religion, fighting over opinions, becoming divided based on opinions, it's okay to have opinions. Believe me, it is very much okay. From the Sahaba, we have this. Right? Difference of opinions has existed from the time of the Sahaba. And there's so many. I mean, we can do like a whole series on the difference of opinions between Sahaba. Between Abu Bakr and Umar. You want to talk about those two? Let's talk about the differences of opinion between them two only. Right? And there's so many. In inheritance. In different parts of fiqh. So, it's been there, and it's never been a problem. Now, here's the thing. The problem becomes when people start fighting over it. Start becoming groups. And then Allah says, "Well," and those who were granted, who were inherited, those who inherited the scripture, أُورِثُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ لَفِي شَكِّ مِنْهُ مُرِيبٍ, they start to have doubt about it. Meaning the ones who are born Muslim and they have inherited the scripture. Right? They're born Muslim, they've inherited faith. Now they see their elders who have studied the book, they see the scholars who've studied the book, and all they see is fighting. This person is calling that person blasphemous. That person is calling him a liar. That person is saying this guy is no good, don't listen to him. That person is making a YouTube video and saying, don't listen to X, Y, Z, and all their mothers and all their fathers, right? I don't know, right? And this person is publishing a PDF about this person. And this person is writing a blog post about this person. The people who haven't studied it, who are born in faith, they will look at this scene from the back and they would say, there's something wrong with the book then. If studying the book brings about this, then there's no point in studying the book. Remember I was mentioning earlier that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the people of Quran as a proof for the truth of the Quran. When they ask you who is Ar-Rahman, Allah say, go look at the Ibad Ar-Rahman. Look at the servants of Allah, the servants of Ar-Rahman, and you will see the most noble and virtuous characteristics, and that will make you realize who Ar-Rahman is. When they ask about the proof of the truth of the Quran, Allah says, بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ. Look at the people that has created. Look at the people that the Quran has created. That's the proof of its truth. And then the flip side as well, the ones who have inherited faith, they were born Muslim, they grew up as a Muslim in a Muslim household, being told to pray and not eat this and not eat that, and you know, sit in a certain way and sleep a certain way. When they grow up and all they see is fighting and mudslinging and this and that, and then the perception is there's something wrong with the book. That's why it can't be done. And that's why Allah says in the next ayah, فَلِذَلِكْ, for this reason, فَدْعُوا, you keep calling people, you keep doing your job, you keep calling people to this book. وَاسْتَقِمْ, and stay firm, كَمَا أُمِرْتَ, like you've been commanded to do. وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ, and don't get distracted by following people's desires. Meaning, don't worry about what people are saying. Don't worry about it. Just do the job. Get the message of the Quran to the people so they can see its truth. Incredible that these are early Meccan ayat. And now we're talking about this, and you know, Islam is like 1400 years later. These are some of the most applicable ayat in the Quran to our situations. Becoming divided, having groups where one group doesn't want anything to do with the other group, despite the fact that they're reading the same Quran, and they're reading the same Sahih Bukhari, and reading the same Sahih Muslim, and they respect the same Sahaba, yet they can't see eye to eye. Forget seeing eye to eye, they can't even be together in the same masjid. And then the people who are the sons and daughters of these groups, they will say there's something wrong with the book then. Some of the most applicable ayat of Quran are right here. And Allah says, وَقُلْ آمَنْتُ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ كِتَابٍ. The goal is to say, آمَنْتُ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ كِتَابٍ, that I have believed in what Allah has revealed from the book. This is what it's about, the Quran and the Sunnah. وَأُمِرْتُ لِأَعْدِلَ بَيْنَكُمْ, and I have been commanded to be just to you. Now, I'm going to skip to a certain part of the surah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in ayah number 36. We're actually going to skip to that. On the topic of being different groups, having differences, because those are natural. Having differences is natural, but then how do we work with each other? How is it that we can work together? This passage gives us a very important understanding of how that's supposed to happen. Allah says, فَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّن شَيْءٍ فَمَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فَمَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. What you have been given, مِّن شَيْءٍ, from anything, فَمَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, then it is from the enjoyment or the tools of this life. That's the first thing that we have to understand. Any accolades, anything that we have in this dunya, we cannot be attached to it. We cannot have an emotional attachment to it. The believer is like Uthman radiallahu anhu described, is that wealth is in his hands, not in his heart. He's got a lot of money, but it's all in his hands. Meaning, if he loses it, no big deal. If he's got more in his hand, alhamdulillah, good for me. This is the idea. أُوتِيتُم مِّن شَيْءٍ فَمَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. It is all from the tools and equipment of this dunya. It can't be, you know, we cannot get attached to certain things. I'll give you an example. You know, sporting teams. We all like to watch sports, and that's good, and I don't have a problem with that. But then be getting emotionally attached to a team or a player. I'll give you an example from a different sport that probably most of us don't watch, right? Maybe you watch it. Cricket, right? The people who watch it sometimes, they, when their team loses, right, they're depressed for the whole day. I've seen this, and these are true news reports, where a guy, Pakistan lost to India, and the guy shoots his TV and then shoots himself. Like, Ajib, man, what is wrong with you? Same thing in soccer. Right, these crazy things happen in soccer. And also in football. Basketball fans aren't as bad, generally speaking. Right? But these ridiculous emotional attachments to things that are just entertainment. It's ridiculous that people get sad when a team loses. Sure, a team lost, big deal, move on. You watch the game, alhamdulillah, now it's time to go and do other things. Now it's time to live your life. But becoming emotionally attached to it, that is a problem. And that applies to everything. That applies to money, that applies to a person's, you know, how they're perceived by other people, because our perception is very important in our eyes. All this is mata'ul hayat ad-dunya. If we can understand this, if our ego can be conquered, then everything becomes easy. وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. And whatever Allah has is better and more lasting. لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. For those who have iman and they truly trust their master. Now, what are these people? What is the characteristics of these people? الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ. They are the ones who stay away from the major, big, destructive sins. كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ. Particularly immoral, filthy actions of a sexual nature. Sins of a sexual nature, they are يَجْتَنِبُونَ. They totally avoid it. It's not something that even crosses their mind. That's how much they are protecting themselves from it. Because that is a road that is a very slippery slope. A person who starts going down that slope, before you know it, if you listen to or you watch a documentary about people who are recovering addicts of a certain type of media, that where you watch people have, you know, sexual relations, right? People who are recovering addicts of that type of media, their life, you know, has been ruined. Their life has been ruined. I was reading this thing on Facebook where one of the guys who was engaged in watching this fawahish, filthy actions on computer, and his son choked to death. He didn't even realize his son was choking. And then he turned around and his son has actually passed away. And this guy was busy consuming this kind of media. This is the kind of slippery slope. It's so dangerous. Al-fawahish. يَجْتَنِمُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ. And Allah says also, وَإِذَا مَا غَضِبُوا هُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ. When they get angry, هُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ, they... يغفرون. يغفرون is to cover something. مغفرة is to cover something. When we say Allah مغفر لي, oh Allah forgive me, that's a translation of it. We're actually asking Allah to cover our sins and not to expose it on the Day of Judgment. Contrast that with اعفو, اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعفو عني, means to eradicate it. It's not even there in the records of the deeds. So مغفرة is to cover it. It doesn't count against us. Nobody will know about it. That's the essence of it. Now, هُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ. They forgive the person that's there. But their anger, they cover their anger. You won't even know that they're angry. وَإِذَا مَا غَضِبُوا هُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ. They're covering it. They're covering their anger. You won't know that they're angry. What's interesting, Allah doesn't say that they don't get angry. They do get angry. Because getting angry is a natural emotion. It's something that human beings go through. We all get angry at each other, get angry at our spouses, angry at kids. But وَهُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ, when it's working together for this cause, they don't make, like, they conceal their anger. Because reacting to anger is the problem. And subhanAllah, how many times, like the poet said, وَإِمَّا نَدِمْتُ عَلَى وَمَا إِن نَدِمْتُ عَلَى سُكُوتِ مَرَّ وَلَقَدْ نَدِمْتُ عَلَى الْكَلَامِ مِرَارًا. I have regretted, I've never regretted staying silent, but I have regretted speaking numerous times. When a person is angry and they say something, they regret it for so long. But when a person says something after they're angry, then they don't regret that. You know, they've calmed down and they say something and they don't regret that. Because the anger, that emotion, it clouds our judgment. It clouds our judgment, and then we say things that we later on regret. So whom yaghfirun, they control the anger, they cover it, and they don't react upon their anger. وَالَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ, they're the ones who, they respond to their master. اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ, they respond to their master. What does that mean? The commands given in the book, they answer those commands. أَقِيمُ الدِّينِ, establish the deen. In its totality, they do that. وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ, particularly they establish a salah. وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ, and their amr, their matter, their business is shura. Shura means to consult with each other. What do you think we should do? Should we do this or should we do that? What's your opinion on this? And amruhum shura is not that the person who's asking is fake asking. I've already made up my mind, let me just, you know, give lip service to these people and ask them. Right? No, this is, they actually are, you know, if somebody provides an opinion and they have their evidences and they have their, they make a really good point, the ego doesn't get in the way. My voice should be heard, my opinion should be taken, it should be about me, me, me. The ego doesn't get in the way. They actually listen to other people and say, you know what, you're actually right, you have a better idea than I do, let's take your idea. Remember the idea of conquering the ego, the وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّن شَيْءٍ فَمَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, that is conquering of the ego. Here again, this is a demonstration that they have conquered their ego. Somebody presents an idea, they're like, you know what, you're better, you're right, we'll take that. وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, and they spend from what we have provided them. Now, the Prophet ﷺ was a role model here. These ayat, it's like they're describing Rasulullah ﷺ. He was the one who obviously, without a doubt, stayed away from sins. And when he was angry, ﷺ, whom يغفرون, he wouldn't say things when he was angry. You know, the Sahaba always said that تَلَوَّنَا وَجْهُهُ, his face would become, you know, the color of his face would change. They could see it on his face, but he wouldn't say something when he was angry. And that was enough for them to, you know, realize that something has gone wrong. Then, استجابوا لربهم and وقاموا الصلاة. Nobody was better at that than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. أمرهم شورى بينهم. At the battle of Badr, the Sahabi said, no, we should move our camp from here to there. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took his advice. At the battle of Uhud, the Prophet wanted to stay in Medina. The Sahaba, the young Sahaba said, no, let's go out to the battle and let's go out to the ground of Uhud and fight there. He took their opinion, even though he was right. You see, this was the young Sahaba, like 17, 18 year old Sahaba, are telling him what to do. And he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being around 53, 54 at that time, senior, much senior in age, and of course being Rasulullah, still accepts what they have to say. Not just listens and gives lip service. You know, we have this idea of, let's involve the youth, but it's just lip service, right? But this is real involvement. He actually did something that they wanted against his own desires. And وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would, when he died, there was nothing left in his house. He had given everything away. He'd given everything away. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the role model who lived these ayat. That's why the Aisha radiallahu anha said, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ قُرْآنَ, He was a walking Quran, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because these ayat that were revealed to him, he lived those ayat. He showed us how to live these ayat. Now, at the same time, these people, you cannot take advantage of them. وَإِذَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْبَغْيُ هُمْ يَنْتَصِرُونَ, They have the ability to extract revenge. But وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. They don't go overboard in extracting revenge. They make sure that if somebody has done something wrong, that the revenge or the retribution is in equal measures, not more. This idea of, yeah, one of our souls, one of our people is worth a million of theirs. This is a ludicrous idea. Right? And we see these ideas being promoted in certain parts of the social media scene these days. فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. But the one who forgives and أَصْلَحَ and he reconciles, his reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. Because he does not like the ones who are wrongdoers. وَلَمَنْ انْتَصَرَ بَعْدَ ظُلْمِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَا عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ سَبِيلٍ. The one who seeks to get revenge for himself after he was wronged, then that person has no sin. إِنَّمَا السَّبِيلُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يَظْلِمُونَ النَّاسِ. Only the blame is for the people who wrong others. وَيَبْغُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. And they are striving in the earth and they want to cause corruption in the earth. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Now, why am I mentioning this? I'll be reading this passage quickly. And I'm coming to this point here. وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَمِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. Absolutely, no doubt. The one who is patient and he forgives. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَمِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. Absolutely, no doubt. This is something that is of great difficulty. The person who does this has great strength of character. Great strength of character. Now the Prophet ﷺ was also the one who is the role model here. When the people of Quraysh for 20 years persecuted him and made his life difficult, 13 years after into his message, they kicked him out of his own city, the city that his grandfather was the king of, and he was the most noble citizen of that city. They kicked him out of that city, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they put him through all sorts of grief for years after years, slander upon slander, you know, criticism after criticism. And then finally, when he won over Fath Makkah, he conquered that city one more time. Not conquered, he came in and he was now the one who was the authority in the city, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he was entering Makkah, the narrations describe that his head was lowered. You know, you see like in pictures and in movies, the conquering army, the guy's coming with his head, you know, like this, and everybody is walking with their swords upright and this and that, and they're, you know, very proud of their achievements. And the Prophet ﷺ came to Mecca and his head was lowered and bowed. And his so much so that his beard was touching the hump of the camel. And when he came and he had power and authority, he said, اِذْهَبُوا فَأَنْتُمُ الطُّلَقَى. You're forgiven, go. No revenge. Even though he had the ability to extract revenge on every single person who harmed him or harmed his people, hurt the Sahaba, he had the ability that day to take revenge from every single person. But that's not the point of the Sharia. That's not the point of the Risalah. It's not to turn us into hungry beasts who are just looking for revenge, who are looking for my rights, my rights, my rights. That's what the secular system is designed for. I have to get my rights, and that's it. The Sharia is teaching us that you can get your rights if you want, but if you forgive, that is better. It builds in this idea that forgive, become a role model, become an inspiration for others, like the Prophet ﷺ was. Because all those people accepted Islam. Some of the great Sahaba accepted Islam after Fath Makkah. And then they dedicated the rest of their lives for the cause of Allah. Because they were inspired by the Prophet ﷺ's action. Like Suhail ibn Amr, the great leader of Quraysh. He accepted Islam afterwards. Abu Sufyan accepted Islam just before. And then afterwards, these two spent the rest of their lives just fighting for the sake of Allah, spreading the deen until they died. So this idea of the Sharia, it seeks to inspire by encouraging people to forgive. So this is, subhanAllah, the things that Allah describes for what a believer needs to be, what we should aspire to be, and Rasulullah was obviously the role model here, who lived these ayat, and he demonstrated to us what these characteristics and these qualities were. Now, at the very end of this surah, I'm just going to take a very quick look at ayah number 49 here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes a very interesting phenomenon. He says, وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَوَاتِ Sorry, لِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَى Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Him exclusively belongs the kingdom of the skies and the earth. يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَى He creates whatever He wants. For example, يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا He gives to who He wants girls. وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورُ And He gives to who He wants boys. أَوْ يُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكْرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا Or He makes a person have both boys and girls. وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ عَقِيمًا And He wants, He makes whoever He wants عَقِيمًا You know, childless. Don't have a child. إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ قَدِيرٌ There's no doubt that He is the one who knows and He is the one who is powerful and capable. When He makes the decisions, He is powerful and capable enough to implement His decisions. Now, this is a very important ayah. Because anybody who tries to conceive and doesn't, and they fail, they can't do it. This is one of the most difficult stages of a person's life. Or one of the most difficult realizations in a person's life is that I cannot conceive. Because others are seem to conceive very easily. But I can't for whatever reason. And it is an extremely difficult situation. But here's the thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that this thing is also in His hand totally. Completely His decision, His choice. Just like everything else is in His control. Just like it's in His control who to give the message to, or who to make a messenger, this is also in His control. And this is something that we kind of see. Some people experience this for the entirety of their lives. They don't conceive at all. Some people experience it for a part of their lives. For a few years, they can't conceive, and they feel helpless. But Allah is saying this is it's His choice, His call, end of the day. Just like revelation, He chooses who to give it, and who to not give it. That's why He says, وَمَا كَانَ لِبَشَرٍ أَن يُكَلِّمَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا وَحْيًا It is not appropriate for a human being to speak to Allah except through revelation, أَوْ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ or from behind a curtain, أَوْ يُرْسِلَ رَسُولًا or that Allah sends to him a messenger like Jibreel, فَيُوحْيَ بِإِذْنِهِ مَا يَشَاءُ إِنَّهُ عَلِيٌّ حَكِيمٌ There is no doubt that He is the Most High, the Most Wise. And this again, the idea is just like you don't have a choice in what you conceive or when you conceive, that's ultimately as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's call, this also is ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's call as well. Now, after this, we studied the end of the surah, we'll move on to Surah Zukhruf. Surah Zukhruf and Surah Al-Dukhan have a very close relationship. Surah Zukhruf and Surah Dukhan are very similar, they're like a pair. Surah Zukhruf talks about Inna ja'alnahu Qur'anan Arabiyan. Surah Dukhan talks about Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakah. We mentioned that. Surah Zukhruf mentions the story of Musa alayhi salam. Surah Dukhan also mentions the story of Musa alayhi salam, but in slightly interesting, slightly different light. Okay, let's look at that. Surah Zukhruf first mentions the part of Surah Zukhruf that's very interesting that mentions Alladhi جعل لكم الأرض مهدا وجعل لكم فيها سبلا لعلكم تهتدون sorry not this one right here والذي خلق الأزواج كلها he is the one who created all things in pairs or أزواج كلها all species وجعل لكم من الفلك والأنعام ما تركبون he is made for us means and modes of transportation لتستووا على ظهوره why is it that he is made transportation for us so that we can establish ourselves on them. ثُمَّ تَذْكُرُ نِعْمَةَ رَبِّكُمْ And then you remember the great mercy and the great favor of your master. إِذَا اسْتَوَيْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ When you're sitting comfortably on them. وَتَقُولُ سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي سَخَّرَ لَنَا هَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ. The famous dua of, you know, when you're riding a car or something. And that you say, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي, exalted is Allah, the one who سَخَّرَ لَنَا هَذَا, who allowed us to have control over this. Whether it's an animal, you know, a horse is a large beast, powerful beast. But Allah allows us as human beings to control the horse and to be able to ride the horse. Likewise, a car, it's not a beast, it's a machine. But the idea that Allah has allowed us, given us the intellect and given us the ability to acquire knowledge, and so that after acquisition of knowledge, stages by stages, we've come to a point that we can manufacture cars, and they are literally like, you either you press a button to start the car or you just turn the key and you start the car. It's there for us to use. That is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes credit for, that He's allowed us the intellect and the ability to harness all of our knowledge into putting into action like this. لِتَسْتَوُوا عَلَىٰ ظُهُورِهِ ثُمَّ تَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ رَبِّكُمْ إِذَا اسْتَوَيْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ وَتَقُولُوا سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي سَخَّرَ لَنَا هَذَا. The one who has made this, put it at our service. وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ. And it's not just something that we could do ourselves. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not show us or did not put in the oil in the earth, then we can't have the cars that we have. Simple as that. It runs on gas. Gas comes from the oil. Oil is in the earth. And Allah is the one who put it there. Through a process, of course. The process of the decomposing of fossils and whatnot, and then turns into oil. It's a process. But it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who turned that process into oil. So, subhanAllah, what's interesting is, He is the one who's ultimately running the show here. So, وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. At the end of the day, we have to know that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we will be returned. So this ayah mentions that. Now, in the same note, I'm just going to go to here. In Surah Zukhruf, the idea of the Qur'an, another very important ayah is the story of Ibrahim is mentioned. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِّمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ. Ayah number 26. Quraysh were proud of the fact that they were lineage of Ibrahim. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the story of Ibrahim at certain points with a twist. Here's the twist. He says, إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِّمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ. I have nothing to do with what you're worshipping. These idols and stones and rocks, Ibrahim al-Islam never worshipped any of them. He worshipped only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this argument applies to a mushrik. This argument applies to a Christian. We worship Allah because Ibrahim also worshipped Allah. We make dua only to Allah because Ibrahim made dua to Allah. Why are you inserting this new little thing here that we have to go through Jesus Christ for salvation? So he says, إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِّمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي. But the one who created me out of nothingness, He is the one that I make dua to. فَإِنَّهُ سَيَهْدِينَ. And He will guide me. Now, these people, Quraysh, descendants of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah says, بَلْ مَتَّعْتُ هَؤُلَاءِ وَآبَاءَهُمْ حَتَّى جَاءَهُمُ الْحَقِّ وَرَسُولٌ مُبِينٌ. These people lived and enjoyed themselves until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, many, many millennia later. Now, وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمُ الْحَقُّ قَالُوا هَذَا سِحْرٌ وَإِنَّا بِهِ كَافِرُونَ. When he comes, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they say, this is nothing but magic, and we are not going to believe in it. وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنَ الْقَرْيَةِ عَظِيمٍ. And they present the most interesting critique of the Qur'an right here, or the critique of the Messenger right here. They say, why wasn't this Qur'an revealed to a great man from the two cities? قَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. The two cities, Qaryatayn, are Makkah and Ta'if. How come the Qur'an wasn't revealed to a great man from these two cities? Why the orphan of Abdul Muttalib? Why the orphan of Abu Talib? Because he was called the orphan of Abu Talib. He used to live with Abu Talib and he was the orphan of... he lost his father, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why this orphan? who doesn't have that much money, doesn't have property, doesn't have power and authority. Why him? Why not Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira? Why not this guy? Why not this guy? This was a critique. Why him? Subhanallah. And what's very interesting is just before revelation, they would say, As-Sadiq, Al-Amin, you know, the one who is truthful, the one who is, who we can trust, the one who is, you know, very noble and accepted, and we have no problems with it. We have no problems with him. And now they're saying, how come he's chosen? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides a rebuttal. He says, Ahum yaqsimuna rahmat rabbik? Is it them who is distributing the mercy of your master? Is it them who do it? Rahmat rabbik here is the Quran. It's revelation. It's called rahmah here. He says, is it them, it's their responsibility to distribute the mercy of your master? Like, they are the ones who say, okay, this guy is a messenger, this guy is not? Of course not. It is not their responsibility. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's responsibility. He chooses. He says, نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ, that we are the ones who distribute for them their livelihood. We decide who gets, who's rich and who's poor. We decide who gets, buys a stock and the stock goes up and then he gets rich, and who buys a stock and the stock goes down and he gets poor. We decide all these things. قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ. It is we who gives some of them the ability to rise over the others. لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًّا. So some of them could employ the others, meaning the ones who have risen above, the ones who have who've done, you know, their businesses are successful, they can employ those who don't have businesses, who don't have resources, who are just people who are looking for work. Allah says, it is Allah who is putting in place the finances here for all of you. It's He who provides for you. It's He who sets who's rich and who's poor. And now you want to pick who's going to be His messenger? It's a very bizarre logic. That you want to pick the messenger. You don't even pick whether you're successful or not. Sure, you work hard and you have certain things that go into success. But at the end of the day, somebody who inherits a couple of $1 million from his father, much easier for him to establish a business and become rich very fast than somebody who's starting from zero. You see? So, and it's very easy for certain people in society of certain privilege, maybe of a certain race, maybe from certain families, to get rich very fast. Versus others who don't have privileges and connections in the corporate world, and they can get rich very fast. They have to spend a lifetime before they get to any power, any position of power and authority. So Allah says, He's the one who picks this, and you want to pick His messenger? What a bizarre statement. وَرَحْمَةُ رَبِّكَ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. The mercy of your master has more goodness than all of this, by the way. And he says, وَلَوْلَا أَن يَكُونَ النَّاسِ. Then to give the idea, so that people don't get, so people can truly realize the gravity of the matter. He says, if it was not that the people will become one nation, meaning everybody will become a disbeliever, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَجَعَلْنَا لِمَنْ يَكْفُرُ بِالرَّحْمَانِ لِبُيُوتِهِمْ سُقُفًا مِّنْ فِضَّةٍ وَمَعَارِجَ عَلَيْهَا يَظْهَرُونَ. The ones who disbelieved, we would have made their houses out of silver. بُيُوتِهِمْ سُقُفًا مِّنْ فِضَّةٍ. The ceilings are made of silver, they're glittering, they're shining. If you go to like a big museum, and it's got the ceiling is one of the most attractive parts of it, because it glitters. It's got a painting on it. I can't remember the name, subhanAllah. But the ceiling is one of the major parts of attraction. So Allah says, we're going to make the ceiling out of silver. And on top of that, وَمَعَارِجَ عَلَيْهَا يَظْهَرُونَ. And stairways, long stairways, grand stairways that are there. وَلِبُيُوتِهِمْ أَبْوَابًا وَسُرُرًا عَلَيْهَا يَتَّكِئُونَ. And grand doors Do you notice all these are elements of grandeur? Large doors, if a person buys a home, they have to pay extra to get a bigger door, and they get a standard 8-foot door, otherwise they have to get more money for spend more money on the 10-foot door, and spend more money on a double door, because it's a sign of grandeur. The ceiling, high ceiling, you have to pay more money for a high ceiling. If you get work done on a ceiling, it's a lot more costlier. And to get certain ornaments put into the ceiling, it costs a lot of money. Pot lights are very expensive, just in our homes right now. And large stairways, right? Grand stairways. These are all signs of a grand building. Allah says, all of this I would give to a person who is a disbeliever. It wasn't the case that people would all rush to become disbelievers. People would all lose their minds because all they wanted is this beautiful home. The idea here is, وَإِن كُلُّ ذَلِكَ لَمَّا مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. This is nothing but tools of the dunya. Just enjoyment that's very fleeting. When the person dies, he's not taking his home with himself, with him in the grave. He's going by himself. Even the Egyptian mummies, when they built their big pyramids, and they put all those gold and silver, the guy died and the gold and silver is still there. The robbers took it. Right? Or people come and look at it and they take it. The guy who died has nothing to do with it. This is the point that Allah is telling us. All of these things that we have now made into a standard, you know, a certain amount of grandeur, certain amount of privilege, amount of money, all of this really in the end doesn't mean anything. At the end of the day, it means nothing. وَرَحْمَةُ رَبِّكَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. The guidance that a person can get, and that mercy, and that improvement in their life that they get because they have Quran in their life and they live that book, that is better than all of this. There's a hadith about this that the dunya in the sight of Allah is like the wing of a mosquito, or has even lesser value than the wing of a mosquito in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why He gives it to whoever He wants. The most despicable person has a lot of money. It doesn't matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But guidance, which is special, which is a mercy, is only given for those who truly want it, who truly seek it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who seek the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْآخِرَةُ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And He says at the end of the day, the hereafter is with your master for those who have taqwa. In this surah we find the story of Musa alayhi salam. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا مُوسَى بِآيَاتِنَا إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَئِهِ فَقَالَ إِنِّي رَسُولُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. What's different here is Allah mentions an interesting part. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ بِآيَاتِنَا إِذَا هُمْ مِنْهَا يَضْحَكُونَ. We don't find this in other parts of Quran. That when Musa brought the ayat of Allah to Fir'aun and his people, إِذَا هُمْ مِنْهَا يَضْحَكُونَ. They started laughing at him. This idea of just make a joke out of it to dismiss it, a lot of the modern day media personnel who have prominent TV shows and they really drive people's opinions, all they do is make fun of others, particularly of Islam. That Islam is a particular recipient of their ire. And all they do is laugh and laugh and laugh and just, you know, just knock it up into a big joke to distract people from it. Because if people are laughing at something, no one's going to take it seriously. If everybody is laughing at Musa, no one's going to take him seriously. That person who's laughed at is a person who is generally a clown or something. Nobody takes a clown seriously. So, إِذَا هُمْ مِنْهَا يَضْحَكُونَ. This is an old trick in the book. To laugh, to mock, so that the arguments aren't really considered seriously. But Allah says, وَمَا نُرِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ إِلَّا هِيَ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ أُخْتِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept showing them sign after sign. One that was bigger than the other. وَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْعَذَابِ. And Allah took them with punishment. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. And their response was very stark. قَالُوا يَا أَيُّهَا السَّاحِرُ ادْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ بِمَا عَهِدَ عِنْدَكَ إِنَّنَا لَمُهْتَدُونَ. They said, oh magician, calling Musa magician, call, make dua to your Lord, so بِمَا عَهِدَ عِنْدَكَ, because you have some connection with him. إِنَّنَا لَمُهْتَدُونَ We will truly be guided. Just take this punishment away from us and we will become guided. فَلَمَّا كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُمُ الْعَذَابِ إِذَا هُمْ يَنْكُثُونَ And when we took away the punishment from them, إِذَا هُمْ يَنْكُثُونَ They right away broke their promise. This idea of a person who cannot keep their word, cannot keep a promise, this is like the Prophet said, لَا إِيمَانَ لِمَنْ لَا عَهْدَ لَهُ وَلَا لَا إِيمَانَ لِمَنْ لَا عَهْدَ لَهُ وَلَا دِينَ لِمَنْ لَا أَمَانَةَ لَهُ The one لَا إِيمَانَ لِمَنْ لَا عَهْدَ لَهُ The one who does not have the ability to keep a promise has no iman. And the one who has no ability to keep a trust in honor has no deen, has no religion. This is the essence of faith, that we keep our word, we keep our promises, we keep our promise with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we keep our promises to people. We apologize to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we make a mistake, and we apologize to those who we hurt. This is the essence of faith. And this is what Allah tells us about these people. إِذَا هُمْ يَنْكُثُونَ وَمَا وَجَدْنَا لِأَكْثَرِهِمْ مِنْ عَهْدٍ Most of them don't have the ability to even keep a promise. How can you trust them? What good can you expect of them? Now, this is something... Fir'aun is now about to lose his power, so he says, وَنَادَ فِرْعَوْنُ فِي قَوْمِهِ قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ أَلَيْسَ لِي مُلْكُ مِصْرَ وَهَذِهِ الْأَنْهَارُ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِي أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ He says, my people, isn't all of this country Misr for me? Isn't this all my kingdom? And these rivers that are flowing under my feet, aren't they all mine? Can't you see I'm better than Musa? أَمْ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي هُوَ مَهِينٌ وَلَا يَكَادُ يُبِينَ Is this guy better than me? هُوَ مَهِينٌ Who's insignificant, he's got no value. I own all this, he's got nothing. وَلَا يَكَادُ يُبِينَ And he can barely speak properly. Again, notice, there's a character assassination. Not addressing the message of Musa alayhi salam, but he's saying, how could he be right? Look at him, he's nothing. He can't even speak properly. Right? And this idea, yadhakun, laughing at Musa, laughing at the ayat, to make a joke out of it so people forget that it, actually the message is there and they don't evaluate the message. They just laugh at the person who brought it. It's a means of distraction. It's what is called a logical fallacy. When you cannot counteract the message, you laugh at the messenger. You make fun of the one who's bringing it to you. And this is what is a very old trick in the book. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this with Musa alayhi salam, because in this time of at the life of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was being laughed at. He was made fun of. You're a messenger? You have nothing. How can you be a messenger? Who are you to be a messenger? You see, the same things were said to him that were said to Musa alayhi salam, or in the same breath at least. Now, this surah, we'll also just quickly, in a couple of minutes that we have, quickly go to Surah Al-Dukhan and mention, just for the sake of comparison, the story of Musa alayhi salam here. Right? وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّا قَبْلَهُمْ قَوْمَ فِرْعَوْنَ Ayah number 17 from Surah Dukhan. وَجَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ كَرِيمٌ And came to them a noble messenger, who was Musa alayhi salam. And أَدُّوا إِلَيَّ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ That you should return to me the servants of Allah. إِنِّي آتِيكُمْ إِنِّي لَكُمْ رَسُولٌ أَمِينٌ I am no doubt to you a trustworthy messenger. وَأَلَّا تَعْلُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ And do not try to be arrogant in the sight of Allah. Inni atikum bi sultanin mubin. Don't let your ego come in the way. I am bringing you clear proofs. Don't let your ego get in the way. I am from the people who you have colonized and you have oppressed. Don't let that interfere with the message. Don't let that affect your ego. Wa inni uthu bi rabbi wa rabbikum an tarjumun wa in lam tu'minu li fa'tazilun. And I ask my master to protect me, and tarjumun, tarjumun doesn't mean here to stone, it means to harm. Or tarjumun also means that you persecute me. وَإِن لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا لِي فَاعْتَزِلُونَ And if you were not to believe in me, then at least leave me alone. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala skips the entire story,
فَدَعَا رَبَّهُ أَنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ قَوْمٌ مُجْرِمُونَ.
Many years later, Musa is making dua that this nation is a nation of criminals. The dua is answered, فَأَسْرِ بِعِبَادِي لَيْلًا إِنَّكُمْ مُتَّبَعُونَ. Set out with my servants by night, إِنَّكُمْ مُتَّبَعُونَ, you are no doubt going to be followed.
وَاتْرُكِ الْبَحْرَ رَهْوًا.
This part we don't find in other parts of Quran. This story of Musa, this part we don't see in other parts.
وَاتْرُكِ الْبَحْرَ رَهْوًا.
Leave the sea split. You notice how quickly the story is moved? Musa is introducing the message. Fast forward to when he's making dua against Fir'aun. Fast forward to when he's taking them across the river, the sea. Fast forward to when the sea is split and Musa and Bani Israel has already crossed. And Allah is telling Musa, وَاتْرُكِ الْبَحْرَ رَهْوًا. Leave the sea as it is, in stillness.
إِنَّهُمْ جُنْدٌ مُغْرَقُونَ.
Because Musa probably wanted to return the sea to the way it was. So Bani Israel are on one side of the sea and Fir'aun is on one side of the sea. But Allah tells Musa, leave it. They are going to be drowned. They will follow you into it and then will drown them in this sea. It's a really incredible passage because we don't find these details in other parts of Quran. Remember, I mentioned earlier in the stories of Quran, and this is one of the themes that we've seen in our study of Quran this month, is the stories of Quran are mentioned repeatedly. But every time they're mentioned, there's something new. It's not just a total repeat. It's not just repeating a repetition for no benefit. Always something new is mentioned. Particularly something that is relevant to the situation of the surah. So here again, the idea is Allah is very quickly showing the life cycle of Fir'aun and Musa. And in this, he wants to show Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rather he wants to show Quraysh that just like this was a very quick end for them, it's going to be really quick for you too if you don't believe in time. So this relevance is brought, and when that relevance is brought, what's appropriate is Allah mentions the story in this manner here and mentions some details that were not mentioned before. So inshallah, I hope we can appreciate this aspect of the storytelling of Quran. Our time is up. Inshallah, we'll end with our study over here, and inshallah tomorrow we'll start again at 7. We have only a few days left in Ramadan, and we have only a few days left in our study here as well, inshallah. Any questions, by the way, we'll take now. Otherwise, we'll call it a day. By the way, on Sunday, inshallah, will be our conclusion, inshallah. So today is Tuesday, and we'll keep having class, inshallah, until Sunday. Sunday is the 29th, and that's when we'll conclude our study. And inshallah, hopefully, we'll be able to do justice to the 30 juz and 29 juz, because those are very deep and profound surahs. And you know, some of them you can talk about them just for an hour and a half, just one surah from the 30 juz. Forget about talking the whole juz in an hour and a half. So, but as we're getting closer and closer towards the end, you would see there's going to be lots of surahs that are smaller, and we'll try to focus on as many as possible. But again, time is restricted, so we will end with that. Jazakumullah khairan. Any other questions or comments, we'll take now. Otherwise, we'll call it a day. Nothing. Okay. جزاكم الله خيرا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.